This is a pretty big pitch because this is a pitch directly aimed at two adjacent countries. I'm talking all of the United States of America, and I'm talking all of Canada. I almost said Brian. Brian? Brandon?
Yes.
You know that I'm a dual citizen. Through my mother, I hold a citizenship. I have a passport for the United States of America. She was born in New York City. My father was born in British Columbia, so I also have Canadian citizenship, making me a dual citizen. Here's the pitch. I am going to run for prime president of Canada America and unite both of these beautiful countries under the following pitch. I have two of them. This is a workshop. We're going to workshop it here. I'm expecting you to be at least, I'm expecting you to be part, like you can be my campaign manager or VP. Although I feel like I need a VP, maybe we got to mix up the diversity a little bit in our duo. So maybe you'd be campaign manager. You can be my Karl Rove.
Laughing Vikings Live. High vibe chats with actors, comedians, and creators, plus stand-up comedy, sketch comedy, and most importantly, you. That's right, join us every Monday for new episodes, and you can be a part of the show on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and Twitch. Ask questions and interact in the comments, and make sure to share this with your actor, comedian, and creator friends so they can be a part of the show too. Can't make a live show? No problem. You can catch up on your favorite podcast platform and visit laughingvikings.com to find out how you can join the cast and crew. All right, it's time for today's show. Buckle up and make sure you stick around to the end because we have a special surprise for you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is Laughing Vikings Live. Happy Monday Fun Day. Let's go.
Ta-da! 52. Here we are. Happy Monday Fun Day, BK Broiler.
Thank you, sir. It is great to be here today on this fine, sunny Monday.
It's beautiful. It's a sunny Monday. I say, by the way, I say every day of the week, I now add yay to it. And I say yay to it. When, anytime I text someone, if I text you or Camille, it's always like, happy Thursday, happy Friday. Yay. And I used to think that was fucking ridiculous. And I used to, like, honestly, people who are, like, too positive and would do stuff like that would kind of, like, grind my gears the wrong way. We're like, what's his problem? Why is he so happy? But now I'm one of those guys. It just feels better. It just works. Hey, well, happy Monday Fun Day, everyone.
Yeah. I started noticing that for every single day. I thought you were only doing that on Saturdays for the longest time, and then now it's like every day, and I'm loving it. I
just
love
feels
change.
Better, and yeah. I usually capitalize the YAY as well. I capitalize the yay.
Oh yeah, you make sure that it hits home. It's great.
Yeah, you gotta. Anyways, we could talk about yay all day long, but we should continue with the episode here. You might notice we got a little bit of a new look for those people looking into the studio. I decided, you know what? No more green screen. I'm going to let you, the viewer, into the studio. Ooh. We lifted the veil. The wizard is the Wizard of Oz is now lifted the veil, only there's something behind it. It's not just nothing.
No.
So this is basically
a weird short guy. It's now a very tall, 6'2", classy, right. Classy man.
It's a giant here. So this is the view into the stewed as you walk in. So next time, if you've never been to the studio and you arrive, now it's going to be very, very familiar to you. You're going to be like, oh, this is what I've been watching for all 9,000 episodes of this show. And then you're going to be here. It's going to blow your mind the first time. So welcome to Laughing Vikings.
Yay.
Should I give them any specific tour or what?
Give them a tour.
See?
Yeah,
I want to see. Got the LV logo up here. I'll try and tour just by pointing. We got the word laugh because everyone likes that.
What's on the whiteboard? What's written on the
whiteboard? You can't quite see it, but right now it says, "Speak your truth, even if your voice trembles." Nice. And then it says, "Own your story." And then there's a cork board, which I have a little, it's a little cutout from a magazine that says live from New York. It's Saturday night. And then a little picture of the Hollywood Hills and the Hollywood sign there, just to keep my eyes on those two cities and keep them in my mind.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. I like the good vibes only.
We got a good vibes only here. Behind is my money tree. I got to say, my money tree, unfortunately, he's going through a bit of a rough patch right now. When I got it, I think I overwatered it because in my head, I'm like, plants need water. So I just gave it a good chunk of water, not realizing that money trees are what are called succulents, which means they're one of those plants that don't like too much water. In fact, it hurts them. So I did that. I think I water shocked it. And then early on in its life, I took it. I was like, I'm going to take it out and take it outside for some fresh air, all meaning well. I'm going to take it outside for fresh air, some direct sunlight, some summer sun. And apparently they don't like direct sun either. So, and I left it out overnight. So it got real cold overnight. So I kind of shocked my money tree a little bit, but it's coming back. I'm coaxing it back to life. I want to show you, let me show you this one. This is the pièce de résistance. And this is very appropriate right now because we're in the middle of Blue Jays baseball fever as it comes down to the wire. This is the front page of the Sunday Star from 1993 when Joe Carter hit the home run to win the 93 series and give the Blue Jays back to fucking back World Series. Look at that. The date's right on it. October 24th, 93. You see the whole the lineup. 20-year-old newspaper. Who doesn't love it, huh?
Look at that.
More than that. It would be almost 20, over 25 years.
Well, you're right. Yes.
What else we got? We got some books.
Yeah.
We got some more books. We got Shakespeare.
You want to highlight any books over there? You want to highlight any books over there?
I just swapped all the books out. These are all of my conservatory books, and most of them I have not read yet. But we have,
I'm going to show you, we have Classically Speaking.
This is one of the biggies right here. Classically Speaking, Dialects for Actors, Neutral American, Classical American, Mid-Atlantic, Standard British. And it talks a lot about just like speech, voice and speech. Mm-hmm. This is a biggie. I've got, of course, The Mastery of Love, The Four Agreements, and Michael Shurtleff's audition here. Mm-hmm. That was Four Agreements, Mastery of Love, and Michael Shurtleff's audition. These are like the three core Bibles to the conservatory. And what else we got? I'll read them out to you. We got Movement for Actors. We got The Actor's Secret. We got Make Your Voice Heard. We got Backwards and Forwards, which teaches you how to read plays properly and sort of what to look for and how to figure that out.
Yeah.
We got To the Actor on the Technique of Acting by Michael Chekhov, mm-hmm. A Practical Handbook for the Actor. And so I think those are all the conservatory books that I'm working on right now.
Yeah. I've tried to read To the Actor a couple times. I've gotten halfway, I think, most of it. I'm not very good at reading actor books, to be honest. So I am trying to get better at it, but it's tough sometimes. Sometimes it's a slog.
It's like anything that's an actual physical thing. It's like, are you going to read a book about golf or are you just going to go golf? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you going to learn more about? So I think it's probably one of those things where also,
a lot of the books, especially for acting, comes from a very personal place. And so sometimes those techniques don't always work for you, or like sometimes they just didn't work for me. And like, I would try them and they just never stuck. And
didn't resonate.
Yeah. And like, I feel like becoming a professional actor and like getting into the higher tier and upper echelon of this career is knowing when to pick and what to pick from each book and where each of those things sort of land for you.
You want to know why that's the case? Because being an actor is being a professional human being. And the same thing applies to being a human being. You're going to meet all these people. You're going to hear all these things, mm-hmm. read all these books, get all this information. And then you got to figure out what's pertinent and what's not pertinent and figure out what's going to apply to you and what works best to you. Figure out your own brain, your own nervous system. Mm-hmm. It's just everything. It's just life, baby. It's just life.
It's just
life. It is important. It is important to read some books, whether you read and also audio books. I would almost just if not for having physical copies here in the studio for other people to then eventually loan them out, I would go. I'm more podcasts than auditory books now. Anyways, I think that's a more efficient way to consume. Although forcing yourself to read it means that you can only be doing one thing. You can't really multitask and read too well. Yeah. I always find that weird. You ever see someone walking down the street reading a book? I'm like, man, kudos to you. But I guess it's the same as someone texting, but it just seems weird when you see it. It's more jarring to me when I'm like, I see someone walking with a book. I'm like, what century are you from?
I just always think that they're willing to risk it for the biscuit right now. They need to consume that book or answer that text.
There's way more people doing it with phones rather than books, but just books pop out more. Like this now is an image that we're all used to, but seeing someone walking down the street holding a newspaper is like, oh,
you know what I thought was really jarring the other day? I was passing a coffee shop and someone was just reading a newspaper, and I was like, wow, you don't see that very often.
Right. You're like, what the fuck? Did I time travel? Did I go through a time warp? And you saw like a horse and carriage go by. What the fuck?
Something suspicious is happening.
And there was newsies on the corner. Yeah. Extra, extra. Get your paper here. Get the hot takes. Only a nickel. Only a nickel. And so we got some books here. I would be remiss not to point out the wonderful wall of wigs, masks, and hats.
Right here.
That is a beautiful wall.
Oh, I've collected those over sketches, over shorts, over Halloween parties, over casting. Costume parties. So we got all kinds of stuff over there. We got wigs.
What is the actual the red, yellow, and black thing that's above there? Yeah, what the fuck is that thing?
The formal answer is I don't know. It was originally my brother's, but I will put it on and demonstrate. I don't know what was on the box or the label of it. Okay. It reminds me of something from the Muppets. And then it's kind of the colors. Is it the colors of Jamaica? I don't know. I feel like it's kind of Caribbean. Mm-hmm. I get a Caribbean vibe and a Muppets vibe, but you can wear it like this. This is a hat. Wait, I got to take my toque off.
Okay.
You can wear it like a hat, just like this. Listeners, again, right now, listeners, you are missing out. Flip to Facebook or YouTube or go to Instagram right now because you are seeing a visual cornucopia. Look at this.
Look at that.
Yeah, like maybe a caravana thing.
Nice.
You know? Or this is my personal fave is like this.
For those just listening to this, Lars just pulled it over his face.
Right? And then
you look like
right? Do I look like one of those wacky inflatable guys?
Yeah. Oh wow. We should do an interview with the Wacky Inflatable Guy. Wacky Inflatable Guy, thank you for joining us on Laughing Vikings Live today. I'd love to talk to you about your experience working in the industry of acting. You're very famous. I believe you were in you were a stand-in for the Muppets, were you not?
Ah!
Oh, wow.
I can't breathe in this goddamn thing. It's stuck.
Sir, you're contractually obligated to stay in there. Is it actually stuck?
Help me, Brandon. Help. Quit laughing and continuing with the podcast while I'm suffocating.
Get Luna to help you. Oh, God. It's attacking him. It's attacking him.
All right. Well, first 14 minutes of this podcast has been loaded with gold, has it not?
Right. We can get should a couple of reels out of this.
Now I feel like I can. Should I just wear it for the rest of the time? I don't know.
You might as well. Yeah, I love it.
All right.
That's your hat for today. We're gonna switch your hat every day.
And you gotta switch it up.
If you're not watching us on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitch right now, you really should. Please like, share, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's Laughing Vikings on YouTube. We do clips every day. We also do Comedy Alley that we live stream. Oh, speaking of Comedy Alley, how was Comedy Alley this weekend?
It was great. It was a little cooler.
Yeah.
Because of how temperature works and seasons. But the shows were, it gets a little cooler, but really? It like nice crisp. I've never done a show in an alley in the crisp September fall temperature. So it was magic. And they were smallish crowds, but the shows are always magical because the venue's a little smaller. So comedians were great.
Yeah, that's and all. Especially with these shows, you always get like the weird happenstances of like people that show up. Like on Friday, I actually met someone that grew up around the corner from my dad and knew my dad and went to high school with my dad. And so that was actually really cool. And like that was
that Dave?
No, that was Mike.
Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, yes. Yeah. And then on Saturday, there was a couple. Technically, they're not married, but they're a couple. Mm-hmm. She was from Wales, from Cardiff, and he was from England. And they met 20 years ago, and then they weren't together. And then recently, they were together. She moved over here, and they were out at the show. But just by happenstance, John Mostyn, one of the comedians, he's from Scotland, so they had kind of had that UK connection. And Dylan Gott, who was one of the other comedians, he toured and lived in the UK for a little while. So anytime that's the cool thing about smaller shows, I guess, is the overall thing of 20 people or less. By the end of the night, you pretty much know everyone, which is, I mean, I would also like to be performing in Madison Square Gardens to 30,000 people and into big, big venues, but that's the really cool thing about intimate venues. By the end of the night, you know them, they know you, and there's a real tight connection there. It's great.
Yeah.
I love it. And if you haven't been, you've only got like a month left of shows because we're not certain we're going to do them in November. So go to laughingvikings.com/comedyalley and make sure you follow us on Instagram at Laughing Vikings. And I'm going to give you permission. I know that Brandon kind of did a bit of a plug. We don't normally do this, but I'm telling you, just stop what you're doing right now even and go do one of those things. So if you're listening to the podcast right now, shut it off and go to YouTube and just subscribe to us. Or if you're watching this live, literally get out of here and go subscribe to something or go hit up Comedy Alley on laughingvikings.com. Giving you permission to leave and go do something. It's good. Nobody ever does that.
Yeah,
right?
Everyone's like,
don't do it now. Don't do it now. You can get out of here and then come back in a few minutes. I like this. This is a new look I got here. Yeah.
Yeah.
How's that?
The many hats of Lars Classington.
I am a man of many chapeaux. Yes. There we go. There we go. Yes. All right. What else? Let's get down to business.
Let's get into this today. So we're starting a new segment this week called Realizations or Lessons Learned. And so because we're going to be doing or focusing a lot on different aspects of performance and different avenues that you can go down for many different ways that you can be on set without actually being an actor on set. We've decided to do a section called Realizations that we've learned throughout this month. So, Lars, what is something that you have learned this month that you are going to apply to yourself and your daily life going forward?
You mean aside from the fact that I might never take this wig off?
Aside from that,
I found my new look.
I mean, it is a fantastic look.
Aside from, I'm going to take it off because I feel like I can't deliver any kind of poignant words of wisdom or knowledge or anything. Like, I could literally say like the secret to life right now and it wouldn't get any traction because of this. It'd be like, we can't listen to an insane person.
I don't know. It might get more traction. You never know. Yeah. I do want to take this moment as Lars takes off his beautiful, beautiful hat. To say if anyone else in the comment section or watching right now has had a realization this month or has learned something valuable that they want to apply to their ongoing daily life, please leave us a comment in the comment section. We do love to hear from you all. Become a part of our podcast.
Tell us your realizations. What have you realized? Which, should we look up the actual definition of realize? Because doesn't that actually mean, like, we take it as an idea, but doesn't realize mean you take something that is an idea and turn it to something that is real?
Become fully aware of something as a fact, understand clearly, which is number one. Number two is cause something desired or anticipated to happen.
All right. Okay. Got it. I got the answer here. thank you. Can you use it in a sentence?
Realize that this podcast is amazing.
Podcast guest who never understands the question. And he's like, that's a great question. Could you explain what that means and what the question is again? Realizations. I think for me, this is a continuation of a realization over the last year and a half. But I think the biggest realization, if there's an overarching one for me, is continued learning and continued growth being a key to life's quote unquote success and or happiness, whatever you define that as. I think learning and improving and growing, both from a practical sense of you get better and learn new skills and learn new tools that then you can implement and improve your life and improve the others around you by sort of learning from the knowledge of people who've gone before or people who are experts in whatever field you're entering, but also for the self-actualization and just the good feelings that it comes from. Like, it's partly for the practical knowledge, but the other half of it is you just feel better about yourself and you feel happier when you're learning something. And even if it's just something that you're doing on the side, like, oh, I'm going to learn how to knit, or I want to learn how this silly game works. But I think just, and going deep dive with stuff, don't just dabble a little bit, like get obsessed with something. Even if that deep dive just means like for a couple weeks, you watch whatever you need to watch or read books or whatever, but just go through a deep dive. And so for me, that it ties back to being back in school in an acting conservatory right now. So I'm going deeper into film history, into theater history, into Shakespeare, into movement, into voice, into scene study than I ever have ever in my life. So if A, that feels good, but B, I know, like going to the gym, I know that just from the sheer time I put into it over the next 8 months, I'm putting in the time and effort. So the results are guaranteed, just as they would be if you were to decide, okay, I'm going to do 100 push-ups every day, like that you stack those on and there's a direct result to that. And the biggest one of those for me that's really fun is Shakespeare. Just rediscovering and realizing the fucking brilliance of Shakespeare and how it's such a common thing. It's kind of like Shakespeare kind of reminds me, people's attitude about Shakespeare reminds me of their attitude to country music sometimes. Because you'll ask someone, you're like, what kind of music do you like? And they'll say like, pretty much everything except country and maybe one more. And a lot of the times you'll ask actors about their favorite things or favorite things to do. And a lot of people will be like, yeah, except for Shakespeare. Or they hear of Shakespeare and it's like, oh yeah, Shakespeare's nice, but that's just an old thing that people used to do. And it's like something they make you do in school, but it's all the best writing. It's all the best life universals. It's all the best emotion. It's certainly the best writing. I don't think anyone, like, nobody's as layered and as nuanced and as it's perfect. When you read it, it's crazy. So it's just something, it's really been fun for me to go deep dive into that. And the biggest thing of that is I'm learning Henry V's St. Crispian Day speech, which is the king's speech on the eve of a battle that by the numbers, they're going to get slaughtered and he has to rouse his men and his brothers. It's the original Band of Brothers speech, which to me is the speech. That doesn't get more epic than a king to his army, but that's also the locker room speech. That's also the lawyer speech. That's also the politician speech. So it's just the idea of if you can do Shakespeare and do it well and master that language, there's literally nothing that you can't do after that in TV and film. And everything after that in TV and film becomes easier because you've spent the time and energy on Shakespeare. So that's my Shakespeare rant. What about you? That's my big realization.
My big realization came during the Tom Todorov Saturday workshop, which you can take for free if you go to laughingvikings.com/links. Or is it join? It's links, right?
It's /actors. It'll be /actors. Okay. Laughingvikings.com/actors.
That's it. it came when I was doing the cold read. Before doing this exercise, I thought of stillness as just a moment-to-moment thing, that you would use stillness to emphasize or have a moment so that you were completely still, and that way it had more emphasis to it or had more power to it. But I was wrong. The moment is the scene. Stillness happens throughout. And I think that's so important for today because we're so used to just moving around willy-nilly. And even right now, like I'm moving around. My knees shake all the time. So I'm always constantly moving. But to make sure that you are just still and make sure you're just present and just make sure that you're there and that you don't need to do anything other than just be present. And that's it. It was such a freeing thing to learn, and it's such a freeing thing to have happen because, like, again, I thought it was supposed to be an emphasis thing, but it's not. And the more we watched, because Lars was watching Buster Keaton and a lot of silent films last week for his second week of the conservatory. And so because I was around, I was watching a lot of those films with him. You can see how precise they were with their movements for those durations of time, like because they were only emphasizing with their body and they would have like cue cards or whatever for those lines. Like they weren't delivering lines. They're not just like willy-nilly, like just moving around. They have to be so specific at every move that they make. And it comes back to what Tom always says to us, justify every move that you make, justify every word that you speak. And I really am really holding on to that. And something that I want to work on for next month is understanding more how to find danger in your work, which comes back to one of the guideposts that we learned, guidepost 13, mischief. Finding the danger in your work. And I'm still sort of struggling to grasp that concept because some scenes don't really demand it as well. But in the case of Henry V, it demands so much of you because you're about to go on to battle. It's the day before. This is so important. Yeah.
It's the most epic thing that you could ever be in. Like the importance is through the roof, the life and death. The conflict is through the roof. The relationship is your entire country and all your brethren and everyone in your family.
Yeah, and it's reiterating for the men that are about to go to battle with you that you're my brother. No matter what, we have this bond that no one can take away from us. And I think that's one of the most beautiful things about the speeches is that it's about establishing that connection. And even when it's a soliloquy that you're only like, you're talking to the audience, you're still establishing a connection with them. You're still making sure that there's a relationship there between you and the audience. And you always have to constantly be listening to them. Like,
right.
Because like they'll dictate how you should be saying something or how you can deliver something differently to make sure that it lands for them.
And getting back to your point and realization of stillness, mm-hmm. that's extra important in TV and film. Obviously, in that case, in silent film, it's the way you tell the story. So, and that's a good rule of thumb or a good exercise. Watch your scenes or watch your own audition scenes with no volume. And if you can't figure out the story and you can't figure out the arc and see some of those moments, then you're probably not telling the story because it's on camera. It's like it's the words, but it's other things in the words. And you mentioned justify every action, Shakespeare's advice to Hamlet, advice to the players, Hamlet's advice to the players, Shakespeare's words. A lot of people, and Tom taught this to us, that it was, that's an actor can look at that as Shakespeare saying, this is how to be an actor. This is how to play my pieces, which then translates to how to play anything. And a big part of that is suit the words to the action and the action to the word, and don't do any more, don't do any less. Those silent films, man, everyone is so specific. And if it's a look, it's just one specific look in the exact direction on where it needs to be. And a lot of the times they shot in masters too. So maybe the physicality was a little exaggerated, but it was so, so specific. And you could tell, I watched foreign films without captions, and I get the gist. I could be like, okay, this is what's going on here. I think this boy, she's mad at him, and this is, she didn't like, you can piece it together, but not if they weren't specific. If it was just kind of talking with hands and just kind of doing this and shrugging and kind of bouncing around a little bit while you're talking and doing this, then you're just like, I don't know who that guy is. So,
and to put it on a different spectrum, I had a session this week with a French-speaking woman that was doing a voiceover in French. I don't speak a word of French, nor do I know a lot of French. But when I know that I'm laughing throughout her doing her PSA or whatever it was she was working on, when I was laughing at it, I knew that it was genuinely good because I didn't understand anything, and B, could feel the intention that was going on. If you can feel that intention and you know that it's there and you know that the beats are strong, it'll still be good no matter what you do.
Right.
And we don't lose the fact that it needs to be fun for you. It needs to have that gravitas where it's like, oh my God, I'm so excited to say these words.
And a major thing about comedy is also surprise too. Yeah. So it's anything, it's any vocal variation that you weren't expecting. It's a change in volume. It's a change in pace. So like literally any vocal variation can end up being funny just because it's surprising if it's a quick enough turn.
Yeah. And something that you said about a voiceover teacher that you had saying to change up the rate or the inflection on the second line so that it doesn't stay stagnant. I think that really resonated with me this month because it's so interesting. And I sort of was testing it out with another person that came in for an audition just to see how it worked. And it did. It really punched up their scene because they bought into it.
Yeah. She always makes sure that somewhere in the first two sentences, there's a rate change either, and it could just be one word or it could be the first sentence is said really fast. And then the second sentence is said really slow. Just those variances, especially in an audition, because that'll be enough of a pattern interrupt if everyone's been saying it at the same pace that it'll just pop to them. It'll pop out. But then it's also specifics if it's a commercial, for example, finding what words sort of needed to be lifted up and highlighted or emphasized or stretched out or really put up on a silver platter so that they do stand out. But a big part of that is just changing the rate.
Yeah. And it's so many little simple things that you can just do to tweak up and enhance what you're already doing. Like, you don't need to change everything right away. It's just those little tweaks and those little things that you keep peppering into your scripts and keep peppering into the sides that you're working on or the monologue or the scene. And the more you do that, then the more you focus on these little tiny details, the better you're going to become.
Right. One thing I'll share too, because I know that you talk about it a lot when you're helping people with sessions, and we do as well, because it came up in class today. Was what Tom will call architecture. And it's just the idea that no matter whether you're looking at a scene or a song or a full story, really, let's just call it storytelling, it can't begin and end in the same place.
No.
And actors can't, you can't know the end of the scene. So if you're giving, if you're delivering the prologue to Romeo and Juliet, all depressed and dark and sinister, because you know the two of them end up dead at the end, then you're sort of missing the point. But it's just the idea that every audition, every scene, every speech, every song, every story, there is a physics to storytelling. So if the end, if you know that the end is a crescendo, like say in my battle speech, for example, usually the last, if you picture any epic, like say the Braveheart speech, it usually ends with everyone screaming and yelling and one final charge.
Yeah.
So if it ends there, if you come out the gate yelling, I mean, maybe you can pull it off, but that's not it's not as good a story as starting simply and starting calmly, or maybe it's kind of upbeat. Maybe there's some humor because it's because you're chatting with your best mates and your best buddies, even though you're about to go to your deaths potentially. There's still humor in that relationship. So just the idea, and the point that he made is if you were not considering architecture or storytelling, you're not a storyteller, which means you're not doing the primary purpose of the job. So it's the idea, like there's a lot of things that need to go into a good scene, but one of them needs to be architecture, AKA storytelling. So just that was a real realization to me. Like you can put everything else into it, but if it starts the same place and finishes the same place, it's not going to affect people compared to someone else who then does it properly, and you start in one place and you finish in a completely different place. Often the opposite is the best. You know, you start out in a fight, but by the end you're in love with this person, or you're in love with them at the beginning, and by the end you're screaming at them. It's just human nature. It's more interesting.
Yeah,
and that's the realization.
We need a little realizations.
Yes.
And that will end our segment. Oh God. On realizations and lessons learned. So now, Lars, we're going to be entering the pitch room. And you said you had a pitch for us today. And of course, I do want to open this up to anyone in the comments. If you have a pitch for a one-man show or a film or TV, please let us know in the comments. We'd love to talk about it. So, Lars?
All right, I got it.
Okay.
This is a pretty big pitch because this is a pitch directly aimed at two adjacent countries. I'm talking all of the United States of America, and I'm talking all of Canada. Brian. Brandon.
Yes.
You know that I'm a dual citizen. Through my mother, I hold a citizenship. I have a passport for the United States of America. She was born in New York City. My father was born in British Columbia, so I also have Canadian citizenship, making me a dual citizen. Here's the pitch. I am going to run for prime president of Canada, America, and unite both of these beautiful countries under the following pitch. I have two of them. This is a workshop. We're going to workshop it here. I'm expecting you to be at least, I'm expecting you to be part, like you can be my campaign manager or VP. Although I feel like I need a VP. Maybe we got to mix up the diversity a little bit in our duo. So maybe you'd be campaign manager. You can be my Karl Rove. You'd be my campaign manager, mastermind / speechwriter, performance coach for the speeches. But I have two pitches.
Okay.
Two pitches. And the first one is free pizza for everybody.
Ooh, I like that.
And you want to know the name of my party?
Okay.
Is it the pizza party? Yay! Vote Lars pizza party. You want a slice? You want a slice? Everybody get a slice of pizza. And then hang on one sec. Hold it down.
Okay.
I will.
If you're with us, please type vote in the comment section if you would vote for Lars for the Pizza King.
And here is my uniform. A lot of prime presidents wear suits everywhere where they go, and they're like, do I wear a blue tie or do I wear a red tie? I'm wearing the pizza hoodie, so I'll be on some, and we're not going to make it Washington, and we're not going to make it Ottawa. We're going to find a new place to do it. Maybe it bounces around too. Maybe
Brandon, Manitoba. Let's do it there.
I don't think the capital should be one place. I don't think there should be a capital. It should just move around.
I think it should be in Brandon, Manitoba.
Definitely not Brandon, Manitoba. It's too cold.
Why?
It would be, but for logistical reasons, it can't. Things freeze there. None of our cars would start. All the equipment, the microphones at the speeches would be, it's too cold. Sorry, we can't do it. We'd love to. No offense, Brandon, and Brandon, Manitoba, but you're still getting your free pizza, so don't worry. So I'll wear this hoodie, and this will be the reveal. Like, I'll walk up to the podium, and then that's basically the whole speech. Okay. Free pizza for everybody.
Lars, I want you to improv your speech to the masses, but you have to say it's a pizza party every 30 seconds.
All right.
Okay. So this is Lars Classington, the next president of Pizzaville.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, citizens of Canada, America. I, your future prime president, am here to tell you today that your days of being pizzaless are over.
Say it.
It's a pizza party. And I start throwing pizzas at people with rounded edges, or maybe the pizza's not in the box, and I'm just real hot pizza. So if someone gets hit with it, and
yeah,
get scalded. Pizza for everyone, and then
prime president to be sued first days in office.
No. We'll figure it out. There'll be soft boxes. They'll still be in the box. And then, so let's do. We'll do a quick town hall, and you know where a town hall is, where you as a town hall citizen. Say I'm doing a town hall in Brandon, Manitoba, and Brandon from Brandon, Manitoba comes up, and I want you to have a problem that's you need addressed by the prime president, and I will solve it for you.
Hi, Prime President. Thank you for coming to Brandon, Manitoba, the nicest place in the world. I've been having a problem. My pizza's been coming cold. What do I do about that?
Well, Brandon from Brandon, Manitoba, you're in the right place, because what I'd like to say to you and all of the citizens of Canada, America, is free pizza for everybody! It's a pizza party! How are we gonna fix the deficit? Free pizza! How are we gonna fix the economy? Free pizza! How are we gonna fix COVID? Free fucking pizza! You get a pizza, you get a pizza, you get a pizza! How are we gonna fix immigration? They all get free pizza. Come one, come all. Get them while it's hot. And there's a free dipping sauce for everyone who votes early. That's free dipping sauce for everyone who votes early.
Wow, I should go now.
You should.
This piping hot pizza that the prime president of Pizzaville just gave to me is the best thing that I've gotten in Brandon, Manitoba.
Thank you. Now I have to get out of here before my private jet freezes on the tarmac. It's nice to see all of you. Enjoy your pizza. Enjoy your pizza, everyone. Enjoy your pizza. And I think I also am going to pitch electoral reform. I believe that the easiest way for us to go vote is not in the basement of churches and community centers and schools that you haven't been to in 30 years, dusty old school basements. I don't know why they're in my head. Every place that you go vote is dusty, even though every place I have voted seems to be perfectly clean. But in my head, it feels like a dusty basement or dusty old gym. I think we should just use drive-thrus. And since I'm the pizza party, which is interesting because previously I said Tim Hortons, but if I'm going to run on the pizza party, I'm not going to have people go vote at Tim Hortons. So I think we're going to open our own drive-through pizza, kind of like Little Caesars Hot and Ready, but you don't even have to get out of your car. That's way easier. It's easier for the Uber Eats guys too. Then they don't need to get out of the car. They just drive through. So everyone just go vote in the next pizza election.
Yep.
Vote Lars, prime president of the pizza party. It's a pizza party for everyone. And next year we're going to make voting easier. Everyone who votes gets a free pizza. And the other tag that goes along with that, this is my second tag. Free pizza and the pizza party is the main tag. But if we need to go another level, maybe if it comes down to the wire, I'll be like, you know what? You know how I gave all of you free pizza and you all got free pizza? Now it's unlimited everything, always guaranteed, or your money back. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Everything always guaranteed. Free or your money back.
I'm excited.
How are we going to pay for it?
Don't ask.
How are we
going to
cover that?
Don't ask.
Where are we going to get the money?
Don't ask.
Money's all made up in an idea anyways. It's like no matter what every party promises fiscally, they just break it immediately. Like, we're going to be the ones to figure out how we're in this massive amount of debt and deficit. We're going to somehow magically fix it. No one ever does. So just stop lying about it and just say the truth that money is just a big fucking made up idea that doesn't really have any, it has little roots in reality these days, but not many. So just unlimited everything, always guaranteed, free or your money back.
You know what I've also realized this month while during the election is that politicians are almost the same as sports players when they're getting interviewed, because it's all like, yes, we have a plan. We have a plan that we're going to execute, and we have the best plan that there is. And when we plan something, we really plan it. And
right.
Like sports players,
you mean it's
just
all
like,
bullshit cliche.
Yeah, it's all sort of that same vein of like, yeah, we didn't get it done this period, but we can go out, we can do it again, and if we keep sticking to our game plan, then eventually they'll cave in, and we'll be able to take advantage of that because we got aces up in here, and when we get our aces going, we got the plan happening. And it's like, why am I listening to all this?
Right. They need more media training, and or they need to just speak the truth. And if they are speaking the truth, they need to speak specifics instead of cliches.
Specifics would because be nice.
Specificity kills cliche. That's why I love acting stuff, and specifically the guidepost framework through Todorov's Conservatory is it literally applies to everything.
Yeah.
Like it's not, I mean, if storytelling is telling stories about human life and we're talking about the physics of stories, we're also talking about the physics of human life. So it all kind of crosses over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really does.
It right, really do you wanna, does.
You want to wrap this baby up with a quote?
I think the quote was unlimited everything, free pizza for all, guaranteed, or it's free. Or your money back, or double your money back. Unlimited everything, always guaranteed, free, or your money back, or double your money back. That's better. What can I promise for you? Ask not what you can do for your country, but ask whether or not your country can give
you unlimited
everything, always guaranteed, free, or your double your money back.
Wow.
That's my pitch.
Double your money. It's a good thing you used that a couple times.
Double your money or your money back. Or double your money back. It's free, but double your money back somehow. Well, what's double free?
It's double free.
Yeah, I think we're onto something here.
Yeah.
We might go back, and when I am prime president, we'll look back at this podcast episode.
Yeah.
It'll be like
episode 52. We'll mark it down.
I've talked about this in a stand-up show in Comedy Alley, so the roots are actually in Comedy Alley, but we're putting it out there. This is our pizza propaganda. Pizzaganda.
Pizzaganda?
Pizzagate. Yeah, Pizzagate.
Our Pizzagate scandal.
Yeah, this stuff sells itself. By the way, for those who are looking and not only listening, this pizza hoodie, if you're wondering, it's not delivery, it's DeLarzio.
Ooh.
See what I did there?
I did.
You guys, you see what I did there? Not delivery, DeLarzio, because my name's Lars, and this is a pizza hoodie. Yeah. DeLarzio.
Yeah, you got one laugh at it. You get one laugh.
See what I did there?
I did.
You see what I did there?
Yeah.
Right.
It was good. It's funny.
Right.
Yeah.
One time a guy didn't know it was a pizza sweater, and he just said to me, "Are you wearing a hoodie full of scabs?"
Why? Why would he say that? Like, it doesn't even look like scabs.
I don't know. He thought it did. He thought it looked like scabby wounds, but it's just pizza.
There's a reel going around on TikTok of someone that filmed the back of a Jeep with like a spare tire, and the cushion was actually flowers. And they're like, it took me a second to realize this wasn't pizza.
Nice.
Yeah.
Everybody loves pizza. That's the bottom line. If there's one thing you've learned, hopefully it's everyone loves pizza from this episode.
I should write that down. Everyone
right. loves Everyone loves pizza. Pizza. Everyone loves pizza. Even cold pizza.
Oh, yeah. Cold pizza is great, especially in the morning for breakfast. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Okay. So, Lars, to wrap this up, I do have a quote from the great Dolly Parton.
Ooh.
The way I see it, if you want the rainbow, you got to put up with the rain. And I really like this quote for this week. I think it is actually very inspiring of what we've been talking about, especially with realizations. We don't always just... We have to have patience. When we have patience with the things that we're going for and the things that we're fighting for, the more things will start to come to us. And it's not always about the just trying to force your way through things. I thought that for a very long time, that I needed to bang my head against a wall until someone finally noticed me. And you know what? You're just going to be left with a headache.
And when they do notice you, they're like, what the fuck is that guy's problem? And they slowly back out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck? We hear you, but please stop. Yeah,
please, like, back up a second. Yeah.
I mean, I think that quote also speaks to just the duality of being human. It's there's night and day, there's winter, there's summer. You know, there's a seasons of life. There's ups and downs. There's, but it's all part of it, right? You can't have those. The amazing times wouldn't be as amazing if you didn't have a little bit of darkness. It's yin and yang, and a light side and a dark side. It's the force, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's Sith Lords versus Jedis, and that's moment to moment too. It's a moment to moment choice usually of are you acting and thinking out of fear based thoughts and actions or positive, love, hopeful type thoughts.
And you always want to be thinking about that positive, hopeful atmosphere, because the more you do that, the more relaxed you're going to be. And that comes back to the three tenets of X thing: relaxation, concentration, and imagination. And we always tie this back to Tom. And like it's such a fantastic system. And yeah, I've never had a system that I've been able to study that has as little contradictions as this one does. Like Tom always says, this system is 100% accurate, or like 100% useful and that sort of thing. And the more I'm studying with him, the more I'm starting to come around to that idea. I don't think you should ever marry to one idea or one concept, because I think there's so many different avenues that you should be exploring to open your mind, because I believe an actor needs to have an open mind for whatever they're doing.
Right.
But it has the least contradictions of all these methods. That's it. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, it's reliable, right? That's what you want. You want something that's repeatable as a framework. And it's also a language too. That's what I like. You and I, there's an infrastructure and a dialect and a way of talking about a scene or a story or a performance that I know what you're talking about. And, you know, rather than us both, like, you're talking in metaphors and I'm talking in allegory, or
yeah,
or you're giving me real, I'm talking real life experiences. Like, well, when's like, who's died to you that's been the most tragic? And then you're like,
and it's in a language that anyone can understand, because as soon as I say to someone that comes into this room for an audition, I'm like, can you try and discover that moment for me?
Right.
And they're like, oh yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Why didn't I think of that? And it's like, yeah, just right. Discover this, add some importance here. Like, this is so important. This is life or death.
Guidepost six, discoveries. Guidepost eight, importance.
Yep.
Nailing it.
Yeah. Guidepost nine, and find the event where is the change in the scene? Like, we could talk all day about the guideposts.
Ooh,
like,
yeah.
I
just had a thought, but tying it into your quote, like being the rain with rain, no rainbow without the rain, no light without the dark. Also, the first two guideposts are relationship and conflict. And that's everything in a scene. You need a really strong love relationship or some love of something in it. But then you also need conflict, and you need, what are you fighting for? You need some meddling and some obstacles. And those are the first two things, but they're also antithetical to each other as well. Like you want the perfect love relationship, but there's a shit ton of conflict in that at some point, right? Sha-la-la-la. Yeah, mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. All right, let's wrap it up here.
Yeah.
Luna's barking. Yeah. Hit us up on all the podcast platforms. Make sure you subscribe and come see us at Comedy Alley. And all the actors out there, if you want to come get a hand with your audition sessions, go to laughingvikings.com/join, and you can hop on the membership. And if you haven't been here yet and you just want to take us for a test run, go to laughingvikings.com/gift. And you can get your first audition session free, and you'll see what it's like living on the other side of the wardrobe here in Narnia, where everything's fun and easy.
And you know what? If you book a session right now, you can wear one of those hats behind Lars in a scene.
And most importantly, free pizza for everybody.
Everyone gets free pizza.
You get a pizza. You get a pizza. You get a pizza.
Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.